Iconoclasm, many icons, including those of the Black Madonnas, were reproduced or restored. During this period of restoration, many of the Black Madonnas were not repainted in their original dark colors. The 14th through the first half of the 16th centuries represent the finest flowering of Russian iconography. The makers of these icons continued to work under the Byzantine influence. One of the most notable iconographers from this time period was St. Andrew Rublev. And interestingly, his friend and teacher was another iconographer named St. Daniel the Black. Despite the early destruction of many Black Madonnas, tradition accounted for their reappearance in Europe over the centuries. For example, the Russian iconographers painted according to treatises which set the law for prose, style, theme, and coloring of icons. During the 17th century, one iconographer called for the adoption of a new style of iconography. He said of his colleagues that they did not understand what is bad and what is good. They hold on to ideas that are out of date and attribute a special virtue to those things that have long since fallen into decline and decay. Where did these senseless lovers of tradition discover the injunction to paint figures of saints in this unchanging fashion, always with dark and swarthy faces? The influence of the African Isis can also be observed in the Byzantine-type Black Madonnas, when parallels are observed in these emblems associated with both images. In the Byzantine-type icon, the head and upper forehead of the Black Madonna is veiled by a mantle or tunic hood. The Black Madonnas enthroned also come from a tradition associated with Isis. The sacred to Isis, and even her Egyptian name Ast, connotes throne. There are depictions of the Black Virgin gesturing her arms towards the heavens, as seen in the Russian Byzantine type, known as the Mother of God Orans. The icon of the sign is among the most revered icons of the Mother of God. This image with characteristically upraised hands belongs to the type of Mother of God Orans, but with Christ on her breast. The gesture of prayer, the upraised hands characteristic of the Orans, is not specifically Christian. Other emblems associated with both the African Isis and the European Black Madonnas were sheaves of wheat, ears of corn, the globe, the ship, the well, or well always full, the crescent moon, the full moon, the star, the lily, snakes, and globe. The image of Isis was not only diffused through Byzantine-type Black Madonnas, it was common practice for pagan images of black goddesses to serve as representations of the Virgin Mary. Despite the widespread growth of Christianity in Europe during the 6th and 7th centuries, people of the country also often continued to worship the various European goddesses. During the iconoclasm, images of the goddesses were hidden in caves or secluded wooden areas. After the iconoclasm, the images were brought out of hiding, and church priests blessed them as images of the Virgin Mary and Child. The Roman Catholic Church does not acknowledge the ties between images of black goddesses and the Black Madonnas, but Archbishop Hamilton, in his Scots Catechism, 1552, states that these statues were darkened into something not far from idolatry when one image of the Virgin, generally a black or ugly one, was regarded as more powerful for the help of supplicants. During the French Revolution, engineers destroyed several images of the Virgin which were examined and found to be black basalt statues of the African Isis and Horus. Until the mid-19th century, the Virgin and Child of Castrogiovanni in Sicily were black images of the goddess Ceres and Child. The child was no other than Ceres' daughter Proserpine, yet the earlier European Christians had adopted the image for the male Christ child. Another temple to Ceres became the shrine to the Madonna della Spiga, which literally means sheaf of wheat and ears of corn. In AD 42, the Bishop of Luxeria built a cathedral to the Virgin Mary on the precise spot occupied by the Roman temple to Ceres. This black Madonna, Santa Maria, the patron saint of Lucerna, is acknowledged for the liberation of the city from Islamic invaders. During a plague of cholera, the Santa Maria moved its eyes for 3 consecutive days, bringing an end to the plague. Worshippers appeal to this image for its power, and even today shower this image with corn and wheat. In 1980, when strikes erupted that led to the formation of Solidarity, the independent trade union, pictures of the Black Madonna appeared in every shipyard and factory involved. Lech Walesa, the Solidarity leader, regularly wears a lapel badge showing the Black Madonna. Known as Our Lady of Czestochowa, The Black Madonna icon is in the European Byzantine mode. During the days of the Polish monarchy, she was known as Queen of Poland's Crown. Many legends attribute the creation of the above-mentioned Black Madonna to St. Luke. Our Lady of Sieksztowa inspired Poland during many of its past conflicts. One of the most notable occasions was when King John Casimir was compelled to flee to Silesia as a result of the invasion of the armies of Russia, and a small Polish band, inspired by the Madonna, made a last stand and finally defeated and expelled their invading foes. Our Lady of Montserrat, a Black Madonna in Spain, was supposedly carved by St. Luke. Brought to Barcelona by St. Peter, legend holds that it was hidden in a cave during the AD 718 Moorish invasion. In AD 880, the image was rediscovered. The Black La Madonna di Constantinople, another Byzantine type, is enshrined in a church that contains four standing columns of Porta Santa marble that were part of the original temple to Ceres. The head of the enshrined Black Madonna is also attributed to the work of St. Luke. The statue of Our Lady in the Holy House, Loreto, was reproduced in 1921 based on chalk drawings. The original image of this Black Madonna was said to be another creation of St. Luke. The Black Madonna, Our Lady of the Hermits, at Eisendeln, Switzerland, was brought there according to legend by crusaders. The history of this Black Madonna can be traced back to AD 835. The present statue of the Notre Dame de Pilier at Chartres was created during the 16th century, but when the cathedral was founded during the 4th century by Christian missionaries, the altar held a Black Madonna of pagan origin. The Russian Black Madonna, the Notre Dame of Kazan, is in the Byzantine mode. The Sicilian Black Madonna, the Black Virgin at Tindari, is housed in a sanctuary which once served as a site for a temple to Cybele. This is also a Byzantine type. The Black miracle-working Madonna, Santa Maria di Sepono, in Italy, is known for its powers of fertility. The Black Madonna Vierge Noire, or Our Lady of Lepuy, is enshrined along one of the Gallo-Greek routes of the tin trade. Our Black Madonnas have always been the subject of exceptional deep devotion. On several occasions, they have played their part in French history. For instance, in 1429, the year of decision when Joan of Arc, against her father's wishes, rode to Chinon and spoke to the king, her mother, Isabelle, walked from Lorraine to Le Puy to pray to the Vierge Noire. Le Puy stood on one of the routes of the tin trade. The Black Madonna, Notre Dame of Hal, near Brussels, Belgium, is said to have caught 33 cannonballs in the fold of her robe. The cannonballs are also on display. The Black Madonna of Nuria in Spain, known as the Queen of the Pyrenees, is one of the oldest known Black Virgin images. The list goes on and on. The Black Madonnas of Europe have a tradition which goes back hundreds of years before the advent of Christianity. The African Isis was prototype to the Black Madonnas of Europe. As the worship of Isis was suppressed, the Virgin Mary was elevated into the European Christendom. The African Isis was quietly absorbed into the Orthodox Christian churches of Europe. Today, the African Isis is worshipped under the name of the Virgin Mary. But the images most venerated and held in highest esteem are those most similar in depiction of the African Isis. Isis is best remembered through the images of the Black Madonna.
Thank you.
And again, in keeping with the spirit of the morning, that was a piece called Dear Lord, written by John Coltrane and performed by Jessica Williams. You've been listening to a program on the historical and archetypal psychological implications and ramifications of the Black Madonna. And I don't think it was as tedious as all that just sounded. I read from a chapter called Black Women in Antiquity, edited by Ivan van Sertima. This was a chapter or a study written by Danita Redd called Black Madonnas of Europe, Diffusion of the African Isis. And before that, I read a chapter from a book called The Pregnant Virgin, written by a Jungian analyst named Marion Woodman, on, again, the Black Madonna. My name is Sharon Griffiths, and you have been listening with your ears open, I hope, to Heresy, which is the name of my show. I will be back on the 12th of May, which gives me the great opportunity of ranting and raving again on Mother's Day. It's also my husband's birthday, but that's beside the point. I will be talking about motherhood, which is a topic sort of sensitive and a touchy subject having to do with women. And I will be reading two stories from a book called New Women and New Fiction, which have to do with two very different aspects of motherhood. That is a subject that has been written about by many, many women writers, both the experience of childbirth and the experience of raising or trying to raise a child and having a baby and watching the baby grow up into a son or daughter and having them then leave you or whatever. I will make my weekly plea or my twice to three times a month plea. Every time I'm on, I've always got to talk about this, for feedback. Now, I have a couple of phone calls coming in, but I don't take phone calls on the show, mainly because I'm rather shy, believe it or not. And since the show is only 2 hours, I don't have a lot of time to spend off the air talking with people. I'd rather be playing music and talking about current events and talking about issues in my life and reading from books that I have been able to collect over the years. 2 hours is just barely enough time for me to get my stuff done. Sometimes it's not enough time. So I would encourage people who want to contact me to do it by the old-fashioned method of either pen on paper or the slightly newer version of tapping out little electronic impulses into a computer. That's what I do because my handwriting is so bad. People get, I answer my personal correspondence using a word processor, a word processing program on a computer. And I always have to apologize because I love handwritten notes. I think they, when you take time to do that, it means it's a very respectful thing. It means something. But I have to write using a typewriter or a computer because my handwriting is atrocious, and it also hurts me to write. I get literally writer's cramp very easily, and my thoughts come out faster than I can write, which is why I just sort of scroll away. So I always have to apologize for that, but you don't have to. You can send me a typewritten or a word-processed letter, and I won't mind a bit. Or a postcard, like Ellen sent me this morning that I got in my mailbox this morning, something that you think would be relevant to me. You go out there and find it. And they don't cost as much to mail, but then again, you can't get as much into it. So I will be back on May 12th. Until then, keep your ears open, keep your eyes open, and by all means, keep your mind open. See ya.